chapter 17 this morning. I'll read some familiar verses. I desire your prayers that the Lord would enable us to preach in these days of meeting. I confess that I'm nothing, I'm a nobody. I certainly do need the Lord today to help us. I need the power of the Holy Ghost if anything gets done with eternal value. If you're able, will you stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God this morning in 1 Kings chapter number 17 and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for your mercy and for your grace. Oh, Father, I pray for just a little while this morning you might give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost had to rest upon me this morning, that I might preach the preaching that you bid me today. Lord, I pray you'd walk in our midst. I convict and save sinners. I stir us and revive us as your people. I pray backsliders to get back in fellowship. I pray we as your people I be encouraged and helped in these days, and everything you do we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. I know I've read familiar verses to you here in 1 Kings chapter 17, and verse 1 was where we are introduced to this man of God by the name of Elijah. And as we pick in our reading, we see that it seemingly looks like that Elijah has come from nowhere, just out of nowhere, and he's on the scene and he's preaching, and he's not just preaching to the people, but God has got him in with the very king of Israel before Ahab, and he tells him that judgment has come and there'll be no dew and there'll be no rain because of their wicked ways. We find that the days Elijah lived were days of apostasy, days of darkness and wickedness, and it's no different today than it was in Elijah's day. They are dark hours. Sin is abounding on every side. But I want to say this, God's always had a man for dark hours, and God always will have a man of God with the message of God that'll declare what thus saith the Lord God of heaven. I want to say Elijah was bold, and he had the touch of God upon him, and he declared what thus saith the Lord. Oh, that's what we need in our day. I'm glad for men of God that are still preaching. I know sometimes we act like everybody's quit, everybody's compromised, but ladies and gentlemen, there's still people up and down across this land that believe God and serve God. There's men of God across this country that are still preaching the unsearchable riches of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, no matter how dark it gets, before Jesus comes, the Lord will always have him a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Oh, we find Elijah was that kind of man. And he gives the message, and then God says, "Go hide yourself. Go down by the brook Cherith and hide yourself." My, he went there and God did a miraculous thing. He caused an unclean bird to feed his man. Brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank out of the brook. Now, I don't know where the bread and flesh came from. God could have got it out from somebody's table, or he could have created it and dropped it in the air and let the birds catch it. But I know this, God took care of his man. Amen. God will take care of you doing right. Amen. Sometimes the devil, when you're standing for right, will jump on you and say, what a fool you are, what a mess you're making. I'm going to tell you, God will take care of you. I fought last night, and matter of fact, for a few days, I've been looking this brook, and I believe the brook can be a type and a picture of a Christian or the church or even our country, because we find that he drank from the brook. I'm going to say to you this morning, I love the local church. Amen. You're looking at a man of God that's a local church man. I'm all for camp meetings and tent meetings. I'm going to tell you, Christ died for the church. Amen. The local church is really, really, really important in your life and in my life. Why? This is where we can come and get a drink and a day of apostasy and a day of darkness and a day where it's a dry and hot in a spiritual sense. We can come to the house of God and get a drink out of the Lord's well. Amen. Oh, thank God for the church. Oh, thank God for Christians. I've got a drink from some Christians before. Somebody's testimony, a song, a prayer, a word of kindness, a word of encouragement. Boy, I found myself, though I was dry and barren within, praise God, it gave me a drink that kept me going a little while longer. I'm going to tell you, child of God, you may think you're nothing. You may think you're nobody. I'm telling you, somebody's getting a drink of your life. You're helping somebody. Just lay with it today. We find, though, and here's where I want to bring my thought. In verse 7, the Bible says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. We find after a period of time where Elijah's being fed bread and flesh in the morning and the evening and drinking from the brook, that the brook dried up. Now, again, I say to you, application-wise, as a Christian or a church, we're like this brook. Now, whether you want to admit it or not, there are times we get dry. I wish I could tell you I was always on the mountain. And boy, I was always just full of the Holy Ghost and always what I need to be. But there's times in my Christian life that I find myself getting dry. Amen. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not being mean, but every church goes through some dry spells. Amen. If you just go to church, to an individual church because they're shouting, after a while they'll quit shouting. They'll go through a dry time, and you'll kick out, and you'll go somewhere else. You just, all you're doing is running on a shout. Now, I'm not against shouting. Understand that. I'm all for it. I'll shout to drop a hat and throw the hat down to do it. I would say this. There'll be some dry times, and we need God's help during those dry times. Amen. Amen. I'll be real honest. Ain't being ugly. But I'm being real honest. I don't have much confidence in that crowd to only show up faithfully when you're shouting it out. If they can't endure the dry times, there ain't a whole lot to them. Yes, amen right there. That's right. Oh, yes. But thank God for those that'll be faithful, though it's dry, though it gets a little barren every now and then. But they'll hang in there and just go for God. Oh, we find that brook dried. And he gave the reason for it. He said, because there had been no rain in the land. I want to ask you something today. Do you know anything? Do you know anything about real revival? If you do, you have to admit this. It's been a long time since this country's experienced the rain of revival. Rain in the Bible is a type of the times of refreshing and times of revival. And if there's ever been a day, we as the church of the living God need a real, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-empowered, heaven-sent, sin-killing revival. It is in our day and in our hour that we're living in today. Amen. We need the rain to be sent upon our barren souls again. I don't know about you, but I come looking for it. Amen. I come looking for a rain cloud. I didn't come down here just to observe you and jump on you. I just come to see where the hand of God's at. I'd like to see the rain come back and revive us and refresh us. And I just want to get in on it. Amen. You look at that fella, it don't matter to me where it starts. I just like to get in on a little bit of it. Amen. And by the way, God can do it again. Just as the choir sang a while ago, God ain't give up. God ain't quit. God's not gone out of business. But thanks be unto God, He's still able to revive His people in these last days we're living in. Amen. Well, listen, friend, we need to rain so the brook will get full of water again. Amen. Well, let me give you this and I'll preach just a minute and let you go. I want to preach on this subject as we think about that brook drying up, on this thought, what it will take to see the rain. What it will take to see the rain. Now, if you'll turn in James chapter 5, we find James mentions about Elijah. He said there, beginning the latter part of verse 16, he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. I'm going to stop right there and say this. I'm glad God let us know that Elijah was a man. Amen. Now let me throw this out. You study the Old Testament all the way through, and especially in the life of Elijah, and it refers to him as the man of God. But if you look at that title closely, it's always lowercase m, uppercase g. Little m, big g. Preacher, what's the big deal? That's a little man with a big God. Amen to that. But he was a man. And the Bible said subject to like passions as we are. You see, Elijah's like us. One day he shouts it out on the mountain, and the next he's in a cave pouting. Amen. Nod your head like, is this the right answer? Or just say amen, because you know that's right. We shout one day and we're pouting the next. One day we're doing what's right and good, and another day we're all sold up and everything else. But we find Elijah was a man of like passion. We find out, he goes on to say, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What will it take to see the rain again? Number one, it's going to take prayer. Now, I know some of you think, maybe I'm going to preach something new. I ain't going to preach nothing new. I've only been preaching 26 years. It's hard to preach anything new in that length of time. Amen. Pastor Stewart's been at this a lot longer than I have. I'll not preach anything new, but I'm praying God help me just preach what's in the book. Amen. I'm just going to bring bread. That'd be all right. I'm on a Brad route this week. I told that I was just preaching last week up Mount City, Tennessee. Told him I was heading down this way, and then we'll go below Athens, Georgia. I'm on my bread route. Amen. I'm a bread carrier. And here's the bread, amen. And that's all I got, amen. And this Bible said that Elijah prayed again. If we see revival in this day, it'll come by praying. Amen. There's never been a revival that's recorded in this Bible or in church history that was not preceded by prayer. All of them, they began with prayer. Elijah prayed again. Oh, listen, how you and I as God's people need to get back to the old-fashioned prayer grounds. I believe that's where we're losing it, church. I really do. We've got our doctrine just right. We've got good songs. And I've done figured one thing out. You're an old-fashioned Baptist church. And I love it. That's what I am, just old-fashioned. Not a modernistic liberal bone in my body. Praise God for the old-time way. But I'll tell you what, if we ain't careful, if we leave the prayer grounds, then the brook will dry up. Amen. Somebody say, well, preacher, it's been a while. It's awful dry. Amen. Well, have you been at the prayer place? Amen now. Oh, yeah, somebody asked a buddy of mine, walked up to him, a member of his church, and said, this preacher, something's wrong with our church. I don't reckon anybody else ever heard that. I haven't 20 years. I just resigned just back in October. I'm now a full-time evangelist, but I pastored for 20 years, and I heard that a lot. Preacher, there's something not going on right at our church right now. A buddy of mine gave me the best answer I've ever heard for that. He looked at that fellow and said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "No, you don't understand. Something's wrong with our church." And he replied again, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "You're not getting it. You are the church. If there's something wrong with your church, then there must be something wrong with you." Say amen right there. Too many Christians got shovel religion. You get a lap full, instead of you taking it to heart, you shovel it off on somebody else. If so-and-so would get right, if so-and-so would get back to praying, if so-and-so would be faithful. But ladies and gentlemen, you and I can have revival if nobody else has it. If we'll just get back out of the old-fashioned prayer, please, and seek the face of God. The Bible still says in that famous verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." We'll have to get back to praying. There'll be no revival without prayer. By the way, listen to me. I know in our modern day of conveniences, push button everything. Boy, now you don't even have to get off the recliner to cut the ceiling fan on. Or the lights on and off. You know you can get a remote control to do that just like your TV. Amen. You ain't got to do nothing but push a button. But the sad part is everybody in the church has got thinking now you can just come for one little service or two services or three and just push a little button and revival happens. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some praying goes on. If there's going to be a revival, God's people must seek His face and pray again. Amen. Elijah prayed again. Can I say to you, not only are we going to have to pray again, but it's going to take patience. Amen. It said that he prayed again. Now, the Bible says there the word again means he's done it before. If you go in 1 Kings chapter 18, that is where he prayed that other time. Those, matter of fact, several times. In 1 Kings chapter 18, he tells Ahab in verse 41, "There is a sound of abundance of rain." We'll be real honest with you. I just about come unglued back there in that pew when we got singing showers of blessings. I said, ain't that just like God that make a song come out in a service knowing the man's going to preach on rain? And it even said in one of those verses that there's the sound of abundance of rain. You say, that's a coincidence. Absolutely not. God knew all about that before we got here this morning. He set it all up, praise God. Elijah said, I'm a hearing rain in the distance. And it's a coming this way. I'm going to tell you, friend, I believe God is still in the business of reviving. And I still believe there can be a sound of abundance of rain. Boy, he begins to, in verse 42 of 1 Kings 18, he puts his face between his knees and he begins to pray. Oh, and then he says in verse 43 to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, listen to this, "There is nothing." What about that? Elijah, you just said there's a sound of abundance of rain. Yeah, I'm hearing it in the prayer place. Amen. Amen. He's down there with his face between his knees of praying. He said, I'm hearing the sound of rain. But the servant comes back and said, there's nothing. I don't see nothing. I don't hear nothing. I don't feel nothing. That sounds like a Baptist to me. Don't it to you sound just like a Baptist going to church? Oh, I thought we was going to have revival. Ain't much going on this morning. Yeah, but Elijah said to the servant, go again 7 times. Amen. We find 6 times that old boy runs out, goes up on the hill while the man of God's praying, and he keeps coming back with the same message. There is nothing. Going to take some patience. Again, we want push button, don't we? Lord, hurry up. We want revival. We'll pay the price, but do it now. Amen. We've got to get in the place He can revive us. That's right. Things got to be just right. Hey, for there to be a shower rain, you realize the atmosphere has to be just right. The wind's got to be just right. There's got to be the right amount of moisture in the air if there's going to be any rain. Now, ladies and gentlemen, out at the church house, if the atmosphere ain't right, there won't be no rain. Amen. Wind's got to blow in that cloud. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the wind, what I read in the Bible. Amen. Boy, wouldn't it be good for him to blow a good handful of rain clouds in this week? And the rain began to fall, and God revive us in these days. Oh, it'll take some patience. He went six times. On the seventh time, he said, I'm seeing a cloud like a man's hand. It may not be big, but she's got rain wrote all over it. You know what? There may be a lot of people in this world don't know where Gateway Baptist Church is. They may not know who you are. I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven. Amen. That's still sitting on his throne. Amen. There's still his footstool. And ladies and gentlemen, he knows right where you are. He knows how to get a rain cloud of revival and send it through this place and let the showers fall and refresh us and revive us in these last days. Oh, friend, it may take some patience. May have to hang around a while. Boy, now as a boy, and I'll be 41 years old next month. I was raised again in an old-fashioned Baptist church. I know what it is to go to church on Sunday night, just a regular Sunday night service, and not get out till midnight. And I don't mean worked up stuff neither. I mean the power of God sat down. And the man of God dismissed four and five times and nobody will go to the house. Amen. I know how it is most in this day and time. You dismiss, don't get in the doorway. The most dangerous place on Sunday morning is out at the front door in the parking lot. So get a hold of your youngin' by the hand when they dismiss. You don't want them to get run over. Amen. But I know what it is for folk just to hang around. They get so hungry for God and God get to stirring and they're saying whatever it takes, however long it takes. Oh God, just have mercy on us. And one more time, we'll just send an old-fashioned revival and stir us and clean us up and do for us what nobody else I can do for us. Oh yes, I remember as a boy when I was a teenager. In 1985, May 1985, I got saved in 1980 as a 10-year-old boy. But in May 1985, I went to a tent meeting, really sold my life out to God. Said, God, here I am, live or die, sink or swim, I'm yours. In that meeting, my home church was going to it, and folk in the church began to get revived and stirred up. But a whole year went by, and God was little by little doing a work in our church. And one Sunday night, just a regular Sunday night, wasn't no special meeting planned, but this the man of God had the message God wanted. And next thing you know, the lightning began to flash and the thunder began to roll and the rain began to fall. And my friend, I'm telling you something, to this day I couldn't tell you everything went on that night. I do know this is the first time I ever got in it. When I came to myself, I leapt the building about four or five times. Amen. It's a teenage boy, but praise God, full of God and enjoying being saved and enjoying serving Jesus. I'm going to tell you, folk are getting saved. How folk are getting help. Why, God sent a rain cloud and it revived our church. And I know for a fact for 2 years we were in a spirit of revival. I've seen even since then in my adult ministry, I've seen God settle in on revival meetings and on churches and do what people said can't be done anymore. Hey, just some patience. He said, wait on the Lord, did he not? We're in too big of a hurry. We need to come in and say, God, help us. And Lord, do something in us. But Lord, I know until you do it, I'll just be faithful to you. Amen. We see what it will take to see the rain. It'll take prayer. It'll take patience. But number three, it'll take power. And I'm not talking about fleshly power either. I'm talking about holy power. God's power. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're living a day, you as a Baptist, you get talking about the Holy Ghost, and folks say, oh, you ain't Baptist. Oh, we Baptists, we know about the Holy Ghost before that other crowd started their stuff. Amen. You label me what you want to. I'm just an old-fashioned Baptist that knows we must have the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, yes. And we, and if we, he said, and the heaven gave Raymond, James chapter 5, verse 18. The heaven gave, the power of God done it. Amen. You know what would be good in these days? And I mean this, when this meeting's over with, if you never remember my name, that'll be all right. And I don't really want, it's not my desire for you to leave out of here saying, what a preacher. But I sure like for you to go home out after these services and be saying, what a God. Amen. What a God that we serve. If we could get a good glimpse of him. Oh, if he'd see fit in his power to show up and show out and to manifest himself in these days, it'll make a difference in this revival meeting. We don't want just a series of meetings. We need a revival. Amen. Don't just need the fall revival. We need the Holy Ghost revival. Amen. We find that the Bible tells us there in 1 Kings 18:45 that when that he saw that cloud, then the Bible said there's black clouds and there's wind. And it said, and there was a great rain. Boy, I tell you what, I've been privileged and some of you have been privileged to experience an old-fashioned revival somewhere in your Christian life. I know what it is to have a personal revival. I know what it is to have a church in revival. And there's nothing like it. But do you understand we've got young people in this church house today that have never seen an old-fashioned revival? Amen now. My children, I thank God that God's blessed me with children. They're not excess baggage. They are not a burden. They are a blessing and a heritage of the Lord. Amen. Now the Lord's let me preach for 26 years and I preached a revival meeting back in 2002 where God settled down in 3 solid weeks. We was in meeting, folk getting heaven saved and just God doing great things. But my children were younger. Now my oldest one probably can remember a little bit about it, but I really doubt if the other two can remember a whole lot about it. I'd like for them to see it again. I like them to be able to experience. You see, the reason I'm so emotional, the reason I get so stirred up preaching and singing and shouting and worshiping is because I've been where the real thing's been. Amen. I'm ruined. I don't know about you, but I'm ruined. I can't settle for the smoke. I've got to have the fire. Amen. By the way, the only good thing you get out of, well, let's put it this way. The only good you can get from a fire, smoke will choke you to death. Hey, man, a lot of church talking about all them revivals way back yonder. Hey, buddy, you better, them were great and wonderful. You better be looking for God to do it again. We got to have him to do it again. Somebody said, preacher, we need to change some things so the young people come. I tell you what you need to change. Change how we are. And I ain't talking about changing modern either. I'm talking about getting right with the Lord and having a real revival. I promise you, if the church has revival, you won't have to beg them youngins to come. They'll get showing up saying, I wonder what they're going to do next. Amen. By the way, curious people get saved too. Amen. Preacher, I'd like to see our church grow. Have revival. Let God settle down and do for you that nobody else can do. And friend, I promise you they'll come watch you burn. Amen. Well, yeah, we need the power of God if we're going to see the rain again. Church, I understand. I understand that what this simple thought, but listen to me as I close. I'm going to read some verse in Hosea chapter 6, and I'll be done here in just a moment. The Bible said in Hosea chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, he said, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Listen to verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Wouldn't you love to have an old-fashioned revival? I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I am asking you to be honest in your heart. Have you got dry in your soul? Have you got dry? Could you use a good rain shower? In your heart, you know, preacher, I can't speak for nobody else. Preacher, I sure know I need revival. That's how revival comes to the local church. It don't just happen boom on everybody. It'll start with an individual. I promise you that. When individuals get saying, God, I'm needing it. I need revival. Instead of being like the church of Laodicea, we're rich and in need of nothing. That's where we're living at. So many churches and so many Christians don't think they need revival. That's the truth. If you think I'm joking, tonight will be a good crowd, no doubt, but come back Monday and Tuesday. When that Sunday morning crowd clears out, they come for the one trip. And I ain't being ugly. Pastor, I know how it is. There's a crowd that ain't going to come but just on Sunday morning. That's it. Amen. You won't find out how many is really interested. Come back every night. And you'll find out. Amen. We must, as individuals, say, God, here I am. Lord, let it start in my heart. Amen. And by the way, daddies, we ought to be the ones leading the way. This morning in this invitation, we ought to be the ones leading the way, saying, God, let revival fire, let revival rain begin in my heart in this day. Father, take the message and use it for thy glory. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand. Thank you for giving me liberty to preach this morning. Lord, in the best of known how, I've delivered what you laid on my heart. Lord, it's not fancy, but Lord, it's what you gave me. And Lord, I pray that you'd take it. Lord, may hearts be convicted. May hearts be stirred. May your people experience a real old-fashioned revival in these days. Lord, save sinners, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed.